Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program 359. I've done thousands of other programs, but since we started this series, this is 359. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon at the end of the program will tell you four different ways you can receive a copy, either audio tape or a CD. It's absolutely free of charge, and there's no postage and handling either. The reason I do that is because I received salvation absolutely free of charge from the Lord. I had no idea that there was a real God, and I didn't believe in Jesus, but when he showed me that, it was such a perfect, beautiful, wonderful gift. It's unbelievable to this day that God would come down to somebody that was as bitter as I was and full of actual hatred. And the Lord now has given me a desire to spread his word. Now, his word is love to us because it tells us that the truth about him, how that he loves and that he hates, and that he has helps you if he sees that you're striving to stay in the Spirit, and if you're keeping the commandments by his power in you. He gives us the power. That shows love to me. He himself enters into the center of us and gives us the power to be able to keep his commandments. He doesn't say do this and that without giving us the power to do it. And that's why he is love, because he gives us the power to enter the kingdom of heaven and completely stay out of the pit of hell. And today we have some testimonies and a lot of Bible reading, and we've got some music and singing and a lot of instructions and teachings. But right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to and have faith. And we know that he loves us because he hears us. And he hears us because he's inside of us. A lot of people have the idea that you have to really battle to get to the throne of God. No, he listens to us. He's right in us. And you really, he's listening. And he knows everything that we're thinking in our heart and in our minds, and the intentions of our spirit and our souls. And you don't have to yell and scream or battle through any tremendous satanic barrage of demons to get to him. He's listening. He's right inside of you. Now, Father, I ask you that you would anoint. I know that you're going to anoint the program, because we'll be reading the Word of God, and the Word is spirit and it's life. And I pray, Lord, that those that don't have you in them, that you'll open their spiritual ears and their spirit, and their mind, to receive the things that you'll be doing on this program through me, that they might be saved. And that means saved from what? Saved from the pit of hell. And saved, we can't be saved from the grave unless you come before we die. But no one can be saved from the grave. And a lot of people say that the grave is hell, but it isn't. You come so that we could completely be saved, and that you could live in us and do a work, your work through us, and that we won't go to the fiery pits of hell and into the lake of fire. And Lord, I pray that the people in the world that are listening, and even those that are not listening, that this will be passed on to others, that they'll be saved, and that the church will hear not all the slander and all the filthy things that are said about myself and this work and about you, because they're certainly saying a lot of evil things about you, Jesus, in this world today. And you, God, Father, you're all one, the Holy Spirit, but that the church will be strengthened and made powerful to be able to endure hardness as a good soldier. Lord, you told us that through the Apostle Paul that we're to endure hardness, not to enjoy everyday life, but to endure hardness like good soldiers. And Lord, I pray that everybody will receive what you say rather than these false prophets, these false teachers today, in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So if Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, there's battles that every one of us must battle in this world. He said we must fight the good fight of faith. Paul said he did. And because of that, he knew that there was a crown laid up for him in eternity. And if Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, so do we. And here I am with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps to sing for you, Joshua fit the battle. And you better fight it too.
Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down, God knows that. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Good morning, Sister Mary. Good morning, Brother John. Well, I want to stop and walk with you and tell you how I come along. I know you've heard about Joshua, he was the son of Nun. He never stopped his work until all of his work was done. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, fit the battle around Jericho, when the walls came tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the men of Saul, but there's a man like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched the spear in hand. Go, go, big friend, who Joshua proud of the battle and the burning God knows that. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, when the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the king of Saul, but there's none like Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Well, they tell me, great God, that Joshua's spear so well not twirly long, and upon his hip was a double-edged sword, and his mouth was a gospel horn. Yet bold and brave, he stood salvation in his hand. Go, go, and brave, who Joshua tried, because the devil can't do you no harm. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, around Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, where the walls come tumbling down. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Rope, rope, and ran home, Joshua cried, cause the battle came to you no harm. Then the lamb sheep horns began to blow, the trumpets began to sound. Then Joshua shouted, glory, and the walls came tumbling down. God knows that Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Well, Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
Praise the Lord. So Satan, he's called the accuser of the saints, and that's not the sinners. The devil doesn't accuse sinners. He accuses the saints. So when you're born again of the Spirit, and you're continuing on the Lord, you're a saint. You're no longer a sinner, saved by grace or saved by power. When you're saved by power, then you have God's power in you, and the power of God upholds the entire universe. And so, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12:10, it says that the devil is the accuser of the saints. He doesn't accuse the sinners. When I was a sinner, Satan never accused me. He always gave me excuses for what I did. And if you're a sinner, then you're given excuses for what you're doing. It's like, for instance, you see the Vatican, the world government, and the media coming down on these people that are having sexual relationships, older men that are having relationships with young women that are 16 years, and I'm saying women because they've reached puberty. And some of them have even reached puberty when they're 13, 14 years old. As a matter of fact, God impregnated Mary when she was probably 12 years old. because she bore Jesus when she was around 13 or 14, to the best of the record. And women are supposed to be married before they become prostitutes. Now, the government condones young people having sex in schools. And they condone that you don't have to go tell your parents that you can, if you get pregnant, you can go to a abortion parlor and have an abortion. In other words, to have commit first-degree murder. Now, that has already become acceptable to the people in the world. But in the eyes of the Lord, that's first-degree murder, and you'll go to hell for that. And so it's better for people to marry than it is for them to burn in hell. Now, the false prophets say, no, that doesn't mean burn in hell and in the lake of fire. It means to have a burning desire. See, that doesn't mean that at all. They just love, the devil loves to twist the scriptures and everything else, and they say that Satan is the accuser of the saints. And if you go to church, doesn't matter what you do outside the church or in church, a lot of people go to church to find someone to have sexual relationships with, because they figure people in churches don't have, if it's a real church of God, they don't have AIDS or anything like that. And so that's why a bunch of wolves in sheep's clothing pretend like they're saved, and they come into our church all the time, and they can't understand why we separate the men from the women and the boys from the girls. It's because there's so much sin in this world that sin seems sinless to people, and most of the people don't even know what sin is. But and they twist the scripture that Satan is the accuser of the saints in Revelation 12:10. And they say, well, we are, because they go out and commit adultery and fornication, they say, that's Satan accusing us. No, that's your conscience. And some people don't even have consciences. Their consciences are seared. There's not even one thought of them keeping the commandments of the Lord, because the world has already convinced them that we're all sinners, no one is perfect, and everybody can just do whatever they want. But the Bible tells us so explicitly that there is perfection in the Spirit of the Lord. And we're saved by what the Lord says, not what this bastardly government, which is run by Rome, says, and not what this bastardly media or the bastardly one-world government and church headed by Rome, the Roman Catholic cult, says. They say, all you got to do is come in and light a few candles and say a few Hail Marys and give us, of course, some money, and your sins will be forgiven. But this is a lie, right, hatched in hell and right out of the pit of hell. But, I mean, now when it's talking about hopelessness, well, the Lord says if you receive salvation and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God, and then you go out and commit adultery or fornication, Satan has broken your spiritual back, and you've gone out into the world and committed adultery or fornication. And that isn't the devil accusing you. The devil is, the people of the world government is teaching you that that's okay, because no one's perfect after all. They're trying to lick your wounds and make you believe that you're saved. And then you may say, well, what kind of a preacher are you that you're not teaching us that we should just, believe in the forgiveness of the Lord? Well, the Word of God tells you that He doesn't forgive people that have tasted the good Word of God and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the world to come, which is the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't forgive that. I mean, like, there's a lot of things that if you didn't know, in other words, you had no idea that these things were in the Bible and you did them. Well, the Lord says for us to preach so that people will be convicted of their sins, not that we'll lick away their wounds, these sinful things away from them. Because you say, well, how many people will be saved? The Bible says not many. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate, the path into the kingdom of heaven. So, we're not to, it says so, So Satan comes, you know, if you haven't been zealous and you haven't been really ministering the word so much, but then you read the scriptures where it says, repent and be zealous or I'll spit you out of my mouth. And then that convicts you because you haven't committed any cardinal sin. And then you get back on fire for the Lord. Well, don't let the devil come and convince you or to convict you of that, because now you're fighting, you're going to get back on the right track. And it really is, you just have to remember what the Lord says and don't do that. And get back to the Lord and start feeding on the Word of God. Fill yourself up with the Word of God. Get what the Word says to put on the mind of Christ, and get that. You have to put on the mind of Christ. Christ isn't going to do it for you. Otherwise, if he did, then we'd be robots. Amen? He doesn't want robots. He wants somebody that is a fighter, somebody that resists Satan, and somebody that does what he said. He said to you and I, you put on the mind of Christ. You put on the full armor of God, which is the Word of God, and you do that on a daily basis. You know, you have to make your thoughts be thoughts of holiness, not hopelessness. We're without hope if we didn't put on the mind of Christ. You know, Satan will come and tell you if you haven't really committed any cardinal sins and you haven't given up hope. And then when he sees you getting back into the Spirit, and he tells you it's hopeless, well then you can tell him, get thee hence, Satan. That's what that means. He'll tell you, oh, you've gone too far. You've gone too far. It's over with. You've gone too far for God to forgive you. The Apostle John tells us, I mean, when I say us, I mean the saints. And he urges us not to give up hope. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as our advocate, he has already paid the price. He's shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And if there's sins of ignorance, things that we did that we didn't know, and we just didn't read enough of the Bible, and we didn't know it. But he said, you know, that we have an advocate with the Father, and that's Christ Jesus. He paid the price, and you can the blood of Jesus will take away sins of ignorance. But you can't pretend to be ignorant, you or I. He has paid the penalty for every one of our former sins and sins of ignorance. But after we've been saved, the Lord plainly tells us that isn't for sins in today and in the future. That's our former sins that he paid the price for, and the sins of ignorance. Not that are not unto death, sins that are not unto death. He said there are sins, Paul said, unto death, and there are sins that are not unto death. Oh, this is a message that most people are probably turning off the radio now and turning their dial to TV for Bozo or some filthy sinful program that's on the air. The people love that which is familiar to them. I mean, they are so familiar with sinning, and they miss the familiar life. To them, it seems like, oh, gosh, this is awful to have to be in a world now, a realm where there's no familiarity. You know, we like to have sex and to be perverted a little bit, don't we? And so you mustn't allow yourself to get into that trend of thought. Sins that we know that we're doing, you know, that because we miss the old life a little bit. But you still have you still, you better get back. The Lord says, repent. He doesn't say, try to get back. He says, repent. In other words, repent of every sin, of ignorance, or everything. And no matter, you know, what you've done that was of ignorance, if the Lord is still convicting you, then there's some hope there. So you don't need to shy away from asking God to plead your case. In the book of Revelation, the first chapter is like a prologue. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ. I mean, this is from Jesus. Jesus, who actually created everything in the world and in the universe, and all the worlds, the whole universe and everything that's in the universe. This is a revelation from him. So please believe it. Please believe God and not this world media and government and this satanic world world church garbage. This is the revelation from Jesus Christ, God. Read it and believe it, which God gave John. God gave to him. God gave this revelation to Jesus. And then Jesus sent an angel and gave it to John. And this was given to Jesus Christ, the man, because Jesus, actually, God came into the world because he came into this sinful world. He stepped into the sinful, corrupt world. And so you say, well, we don't. We're not corrupt. Well, then you're saying that you never sinned and that you're not in a corrupt world. Is that what you're saying? Are you saying that you're not fearful for your life? You don't know one minute from the next that you're going to be blown off the map? And if you're not right with the Lord and that happens, or you're getting some, God forbid, some accident, and you're not right with the Lord, you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit, well then, another pause here for a little sip. If I was on TV, I wouldn't have to tell you these things. Okay. So God gave to Jesus this revelation. He gave it to Jesus the man, because Jesus was the first man that was raised from the dead, that entered as a man that had been completely changed into an ecclesiastical man into the kingdom of heaven. Concerning the events that will be taking place on earth, he says that the things that are happening right now, amen, on earth, and they will happen, they're happening right now. And then he says that shortly, this is about 1950 years ago, that shortly shall come to pass. That's 1950 years ago. Now the Lord is showing about flying saucers. He's telling people, let Christ be in your midst, and you be let him be the wheel inside the church. You must begin living the church life, all of you together. Okay? It really states that these events will happen now. By the way, it's very soon. It's going to happen, and it's happening now. Must read the words and make them stand out in our minds and in our spirits, because the Lord doesn't speak unless there's something very important about every word, because it's by every word the Spirit of God that holds up the entire universe, and he's trying to get to you and to me. Amen?
Amen.
God gave the Lord Jesus Christ these things concerning the events that will happen and that are happening right now. These words are revealed to us when they're happening. That's why the book of Revelation cannot even be understood unless these events are at hand. So the angel of God was out was sent to God's servant, the Apostle John. John was the same John that wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation. He wrote them by the Holy Spirit. He didn't take any credit for them. If he did, he'd be saying that he was a tree rather than an herb. We all have to be little herbs instead of big trees. Okay? Because we have to be humble. Amen?
Amen.
So he sent it so that John could share these revelations with God's other servants. Now, the people of the world are not God's servants at all until they become born again and they're doing the things of the Lord. So these things are to be, he gave to the Apostle John to share with God's other children or other servants. Are you a servant of God? Are you a child of God? If you are, then Christ is in you, because God doesn't recognize you unless his Son is in you, his only begotten Son. Well, then God has given this revelation by the angel to John, and John was supposed to pass it on to God's other servants, children. So John reported the word of God faithfully and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Everything that he saw and that he heard. So God blesses the one who reads this prophecy, and which is a person, if you're of the church, you're a member of the corporate body of Christ, with Christ as the center of the church. And he blesses everyone who listens to this, and not only listens to it, but obeys what it says. For the time is at hand, right now. The time is now. It's at hand. Amen?
Amen.
When something's at hand, I mean, I have a Bible here, and it's at hand. I can just take it right now. Amen?
Amen.
If it's in the future, well, I have to wait for it, but it's at hand. The time is at hand. When these things will come to pass, what will happen? In other words, they will happen. So God gave a greeting to the seven churches. Now, why does the Lord tell us to endure hardship? Or hardness? Why doesn't he tell us, like these false prophets all said, we're supposed to be enjoying the good life. We're supposed to be enjoying everyday life with, not with the Lord, but with Joyce Myers. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, what's this? I mean, the Bible's saying something else, Joyce. He says to endure hardness like a good soldier. Well, then if we're just enjoying everyday worldly life or the life out in the world, well, no, they don't say to worldly life, but they say, you know, we got to enjoy life. God says he doesn't mind if we have, this and that and all the things of the world. The reason that the Lord says for us to endure hardness like a good soldier, well, it's because he knows that the time is at hand. It ain't no time to be out there, enjoying everyday life or to have the good life. And you have to find out what they mean by the good life or enjoying everyday life. What it is in the Spirit. And he wants to pass that on to you. He wants you to know that you have to endure hardness. If not, you know what happens? You fall away from the Lord and you start enjoying the things of the world. And the Bible says that everything in the world is lust. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen?
Amen.
So, is that what you're supposed to be enjoying? Or is that the good life? No. We have to take up the cross. We have to deny ourselves these the world. He says, love not the world. Don't be enjoying the world. Take up the cross and follow me, Jesus said. He says that because these things are, he wants you to pass that on. He wants me to pass it on to you. And this is why the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos for preaching that we have to endure hardness like a good soldier. Amen?
Amen.
And that we had to endure hardness. He says, continue on through the trials and tribulations and persecutions. And if you're not persecuted, if your church is not going through trials, tribulations, and I don't mean just the lack of money, chances are that maybe you don't have money because you are not continuing on and you're not going through. You want money maybe to enjoy what they're saying, these false prophets, the good life, instead of preparing your heart for sorrow. We have to endure. Enduring means that on a day-to-day basis, hardness like a good soldier of the Lord. It's because he knows that the time is at hand, and he wants to pass that on to you. And also, there's the fact that the time is at hand. And that was a long time ago, 1950 years ago. But it's much, much more closer now, much nearer now, than it was then. So this letter is from the Lord, from John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. And then, of course, these churches, we see the things that they're doing right and the things that they're not doing right. So a lot of you are not doing the right thing yet. You haven't become perfect like these flying saucers, the perfect church of God, where Christ with God the Father and the Holy Spirit is living in the midst of you, and you're moving by the Spirit like lightning, and you're moving with zeal, with fire. All right? It says grace, in other words, power. Power and peace from God, the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. And he's coming very soon. The time of his coming is at hand. From the sevenfold Spirit before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. To the things... to all these different things, the first to rise from the dead into the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about these things, and the commander of all the rulers of the world. And who are the rulers of the world? These are your preachers. Amen?
Amen.
Now, but we're to give this to all the rulers of the world, and don't think that I don't preach to all the rulers of this world, because I do. Mm-hmm. And they're listening, that's for sure. I've received, I don't know, how many emails did I receive from President Bush for me to tell him what to do? And I told him, and he didn't listen. I told him not to bomb Iraq. Do not do that. That's not Christian. To murder people, or to, no matter what they're doing, we're to pray for them, we're to preach the gospel to them, but he went ahead and did it anyway. But he waited until I wrote, he asked me, what could we possibly do to bring about peace in the Middle East? So I wrote a piece of literature called Peace in the Middle East. He says, I'll print it in the White House newspaper. And, so I wrote it. It took a while. And right after I said it to him, he started bombing Iraq. So he didn't listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says unto the churches, because he's not one of the members of the body of Christ. Otherwise, you wouldn't murder people. You wouldn't build shrines unto the Antichrist church. Satan's machine, the Vatican, its world government, and the media. You wouldn't do that. to give this to all the rulers of the world, everywhere. All praise be to God, to Him who loves us and has washed us from our sins, our former sins, or separated us from a sinful life. He separated us from a sinful life by putting His Spirit in us, and that gives us the power to be separate, in other words, consecrated unto God, and be part of His corporate body with Christ living in the midst of us by shedding His precious blood on the cross at Calvary for us. He did it for us, those of us that receive Him. He has made us His kingdom. He has made us kings, a kingdom of kings. And He's the King of all of us kings, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's made us lords. He's made us priests. We are His kingdom, a corporate body of people that are saved and keeping His commandments by His power, and His priests who are who serve before God the Father, His Father. To Him be everlasting glory. He rules forever and ever, the Word of God says, and the book says, Amen. Look, the meaning of this behold, it means to look. Look, these people that say they're Jesus on earth here, they're not Jesus. He says, behold, or look, He cometh with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the nations of the earth will weep or wail because of Him. And that's true. Yes, amen. I am, just as Jesus talking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, Jesus. I am the one who is, who always was. In the beginning was the Word, amen. And the Word became flesh. I am He who is and who always was and who is still to come, the Almighty One, the Almighty God. So here is the vision of the Son of Man. I am John, your brother, in Jesus. We are partners in enjoying everyday life?
No.
No, he says that we, the body of Christ and John, we are partners in suffering.
Amen.
Suffering. Enduring hardness. Amen?
Amen.
We are partners in suffering. Denying the world. Rejecting the world. All the lust of the world. Fleeing from the very appearance of evil. We are partners in suffering. The Bible says that Jesus despised the shame of the cross. That's suffering. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, some of us, we despise the filth that people say about us, but we still suffer it. We continue suffering because the devil is planting hatred in our hearts because, here John was put on the Isle of Patmos in exile because he said, because I preached the gospel, I preached the good news of God. And it's not it's a good life in that we are fellowshipping with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we know that we're saved because He hears us. And how does He hear us? Because we fight our way to the throne? No, because He's living in us. He's so near that He hears everything we say. So that should encourage you to pray. It's so simple to say, Lord, You're in me. Do You hear me? Of course I hear You. Amen?
Amen.
And whatsoever you ask, according to the law of faith, you're going to receive. Amen?
Amen.
So pray, Lord, fill Tony. That's what the devils are praying. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, Lord, destroy them. You know, the devils. Because we're supposed to hate Satan. The Bible says you have to love the Lord and hate the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. If you hate the devil, then you keep the commandments of the Lord. We are partners in suffering, not enjoying everyday life. It's an enjoyment to me to pray to the Lord.
Amen.
And to be able to communicate to Him because He's in me. That's what I enjoy. I enjoy that every day, if that's what you mean, Joyce. Yeah, or any of you other preachers out there. You mean enjoying fellowshipping with the Lord and knowing that He hears me because He's in me? That's what the Bible says. I know that He hears me because He's in me. Amen?
Amen.
Do you think that God is deaf?
No.
He hears everything you're thinking. He knows everything you're thinking in your heart, every murmur of your heart. He knows everything, even what you're intending to do, and intending what the Lord says for you to do that you're not going to do. He knows what you're going to do. He knows your motivations. Not in the good life, or in the enjoying everyday life, but I am your partner in suffering. John, the Revelator, said to the real body of Christ, we all suffer. Everyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer like Jesus did. And you're going to receive trials and tribulations and character assassination and lies about you. But you're going to keep going. You're not going to let it get you down, are you?
No.
Huh?
No.
You're going to fall away?
No.
What good would it do to be on a ship and to fall out of the ship? And in the kingdom, so he says, everyday life, he says, your partner in suffering and in the kingdom. Now, you think just because you're in the kingdom of God, because Christ is in you with the Father by the Spirit, that you're not going to receive suffering? No, that's why you're going to receive suffering. You're going to be a partner with John and the Apostle Paul and all these people that endured hardness. Amen?
Amen.
In the kingdom and in the patient endurance. You're going to endure. You're going to have tenacity. You're going to keep it up. You're going to keep it up. You're going to keep it up. You're going to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The power of God upholds the entire universe. So what can the devil do to us? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, he can give you a hard time, huh? He can give you some suffering and hardship. Is that it? Do you think, Satan, that you're going to persuade me to do anything to lose my soul? And in the kingdom, in the patient endurance. Endurance of what? The endurance of trials and tribulations. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to endure hardness, suffering, trials and tribulations. Well, we haven't received any trials and tribulations. Well, I would suggest then you should live godly in Christ Jesus. And let's see if your whole world will turn around. Mine did.
Amen.
What's with you? He says, I was exiled. This means I was taken and arrested and put on the island of Patmos. When I was in Greece, when I was in the Middle East, I passed that island in the boat. I was in the, why was he put there? He says, for preaching the true word of God, for preaching the word of God. I was punished for preaching the word of God. Every devil in hell rose up against me and all the brothers and sisters that were with me, that I was winning to the Lord. I was put in jail. I became an ex-convict for preaching the word of God and speaking about Jesus, he said. Just even speaking about Jesus, I was arrested and put in prison, he said. It was the Lord's day. And I was worshiping in the Spirit. Now, he was worshiping in the Spirit, because being in the Spirit, you have to be in the Spirit all the time. But he was just signifying that I was doing this on the Lord's Day. But he was worshiping in the Spirit on that day. So suddenly, he says, I heard a loud voice behind me. A voice that sounded like the blast, a trumpet blast. And it says, write down what you see and send it to the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven golden candlesticks, or golden lampstands also, and standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks was the hub of the candlesticks, the hub of the lampstands. It was the Son of Man. What do you mean the Son of Man? Well, he was a man in every way. And, you know, tomorrow I'm going to read about that. That's Jesus, who is actually the Son of God also. But this, talking about Jesus, the man, he was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. He had this gold sash or a girdle around his paps or chest. His head and his hair were white, like wool is white. They were not wool. They were like wool. Amen?
Amen.
Or like snow. So a guy in prison, he was a guard. He came up to me while I was in prison for the gospel, for preaching the gospel. It was a false IRS charge that they got me on. And he said, he was a black guy. And he says, see, God is black. And I said, no, he's not. He's Jew. You better read the Bible again. He said, well, it says that his hair is like wool. I said, no, it says his hair was white like wool. That's very important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we don't want to, we get into heaven by believing the truth, not just because black people want to be, and most black, almost every black person I know doesn't believe that God is black, or that Jesus was black, but he was a Jew. And it says, he's white, just like wool. Then it goes on to say, as white as snow. Well, I asked the guy, is your hair made out of snow? He says, I don't believe that it says that. I says, get a Bible. Come on, bring it over here to my cell. There's just a little window there for me to talk to him through. And so finally he read it, and he said, I didn't see that before. Okay. This black guard in prison thought that Jesus' hair was like wool, or like that was like a bunch of snow on top of his head. That's so strange, the way that people twist the scriptures. Well, the Lord never had woolly hair. I saw him. And the Lord has appeared to people in diverse manners, in diverse ways, different ways. To me, he appeared just like a man. He could have said white, like the color of the White House, or white like a bed sheet, or you know. But this is a good description, like the color of white that a lamb is, or a sheep. There's all different colors of bed sheets, but white like a sheet. Okay? I'm going to take a little sip here. You'll excuse me, please. My mouth gets a little dry when I talk so much. So it goes on to clarify it. It's white as snow. There's no snow on people's heads, on anybody. And his eyes were bright like flames of fire. They weren't flames of fire. They were like flames of fire. You know, just like a white like snow. Amen?
Amen.
Like flames of fire. It's not fire flashing out of his eyes, but his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were bright like brass refined in the furnace. And his voice thundered like the mighty ocean waves, like many waters. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. That was the word of God. The two-edged, double-edged sword is the word of God. And his face was as bright as the sun. It wasn't like the sun. It was bright like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid." In other words, I'm not here to destroy or condemn you. I know that you're on the Isle of Patmos here in prison because you're speaking about me, the truth about me. "Don't be afraid," he says. "You are my friend. You're here for preaching about me and teaching about me. I am the first and the last. I am the living one who was dead, and behold," or "look, I am alive, and not only alive, but forevermore, forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and hell. Write down what you have seen, the things that you've heard, both in the things that are now, back there 1900, approximately 1950 years ago, things that are now, that are back then, now happening, and the things that will happen in the near future. This is the meaning of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the sevenfold lamp stands. So we're going to get in that tomorrow, because I know my time is up right now. I'd like to continue on with this and make sure that you tune in, because you're going to hear the truth. Amen?
Amen.
And you must gird yourself. You must make yourself ready. You must prepare yourself for the kingdom of heaven. You must do it, because the Lord's not going to do it for you, and these false prophets are not going to do it for you. The Lord wants to know that he has a servant, somebody that does what he says. He doesn't want to force you to do it. He doesn't want to make you a robot. So those of you that would like to get started in the Lord, say this prayer. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, my former filthy sins, and I believe that God raised you, Jesus, from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the blood that you shed for me on the cross. You had to come into this world, Lord, as a man, because God cannot die. He had to come as a human being, to have human being blood, no special blood other than human blood, bone and flesh. I believe God raised you from the dead. I open the door of my heart, and I ask you to come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You're the life-giving spirit. Enter into me, life-giving spirit, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. I praise and thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, those of you, just keep praising and thanking the Lord and reading the Word. If you have any questions, ask me. You can ask, and Sharon will tell you four different ways to receive a copy of this program. Program number 359, some literature, the Messiah book. And make sure you specify whether it's a CD or an audio tape. Go ahead, Sharon.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
This is Rural Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another word of the Lord, powerful word of God. And right now, God bless you, and here I am singing Onward Christian Soldiers.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads again.